Every single day, I can't wait to wake up. I spend time with my kids in the morning, and I feel that my kids are much, 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 much more happier. I feel my wife is happier. I feel I'm happier. And I think it was this key to holding what's so important in this world, the family, together.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families. So today, we're going to discuss one, two, three things that Craig believes every father should do. And we're going to try to get down to the practical of what that looks like. So Craig, why don't you just give us a little bit of a understanding of what those things are, and we can jump right into them.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing is just remaining present really in the children's lives. With everything that's going on and work and trying to do everything else and balance, is sticking with your kids and being present when you can be. Being the educational father as well, like teaching the children how to grow and develop and teach them the differences between right and wrongs. And then for me, the third one, which is really important as well, is being able to release stress by working as a team with your kids as well. A lot of people see it as an authority figure, but sometimes it's also about working as a team.
That's fantastic. So when we communicated before this interview, you mentioned 15 minutes a day, no distractions. Can you describe what that looks like in your household?
Of course, yeah. So this is something I absolutely live by, and this is on a daily schedule. Obviously, there is the day that caveat that you may miss a day because of something that comes up. But something I live by is the 15-minute rule. This is time set aside with no TV, no distractions, no phone, no internet. It's just you and your kids and being present. So the first thing I personally do, and I feel that this has helped myself grow and my children, is the first 5 minutes is just a game. We just play a game. It might be something like I Spy. It might be like something, you know, trying to make each other laugh or something. It just brings a bit of laughter. The second thing then I always ensure to do is literally just messing around with my kids. It's something that's very important for fathers because of the release of oxytocin, and the same that happens to the kids. They feel that, like, that building of your relationship. So just having a laugh, if it's playing around, chasing them around the house, getting their toys and playing with them, whatever it may be. And then finally, as I've just mentioned, that sort of goes on to the second point, is like education. So I'd spend every day. So recently, just to give you a bit of an example, I've taught my kids empathy, as my son does. He touches his head and he goes, empathy. And he thinks about how someone else feels. And then, like, that's really good. I've taught them about the excuse me rule. Like, if someone's talking, say, excuse me, can I say something? Excuse me, can I pass? So, like, just little lessons like that. What I feel from those lessons is, number one, they're developing and growing into a much more mature and lovable person. But more importantly, and not sorry, more importantly, but for me as well, I'm also feeling that growth because I'm reminding myself about being that good person and watching my kids develop. So such an important thing, and it works for me 100%.
That's really neat. So describe that in the age ranges. So 17, 11, and 5, right? And so that clearly must look different between the 17 and the 5-year-old.
So yeah, massively different. Yeah, as they get to 17, you know, it's very different. When you talk about life lessons, it could be a little bit more urgent life lessons. Sorry, like, for instance, you know, jobs, tax, typical day by day, car stuff, you know, all that stuff that you teach somebody that is the age of 17 going on to becoming basically an adult. Where my 5-year-old, it's just the simple basic things that we should all just love about ourselves as humans, you know, humility, love one another, what's right, what's wrong, why is this wrong, why is this right. And then my 11-year-old, you know, sometimes I feel like it's almost the same as the my 10-year-old, should I say, is the same as the 5-year-old, although there's a little bit more maturity from her, so I feel a bit of back and forth, so it takes a little bit longer with him to sort of grasp it, so he may have to have a lot of repetitiveness. So yeah, that's how it looks like between the ages.
So give me a play-by-play, because we talked just a minute ago about, right before this, about you don't actually know what it looks like in a family that's not your own. Like, I've never seen you interact with your kids, so it's hard for me to visualize it. Give me like a play-by-play of you come home from work, And then you say, hey, we're going to have our 15 minutes, or tell me what that looks like.
So I don't actually, usually most of the time, I don't say, right, let's have 15 minutes now, because I don't want them to feel like it's a set scheduled time. I don't want them to make it feel like it's a chore for me. And I'm going, oh, 15 minutes now I've got to spend with you. So I almost just merge it into my typical daily routine. So I'll get back from work, depending on what I'm doing. It completely depends on what time. It could be just before bed. It could be straight after work. I'll usually just sit down. I'll go into the room. I'll call them to me. And the first thing I'll say is, for instance, because as I said, it's broken down to three things that I do. I'll just say, do you want to play a game? I said, right, first one to laugh loses. It could be anything. And then it's between 5 and whatever minutes. And then I'll start just having a laugh, because we've played a game. It perfectly aligns into having a laugh. And it's the reason I do it that way then, because you've had a game, you've had a laugh, bit of competitiveness. If they're a bit sad because they lose or something's not gone right, then we just transition into that. And then what's so perfect about it then is almost as they're having a bit of a laugh, and we're talking, for instance, about, you know, I don't know, when my son, I'll be chucking him around or playing around or something. I'll go, right, I'm going to teach you something, Dil. And he'll just look at me. And because I've done it so many times now, and the reason I do that as quite an authoritarian sort of father, if you like, go, right, I'm going to teach you something now, is because they then know the difference between playing around, having a laugh, and then just sitting there and going, okay, I'm going to learn something and it's going to benefit me. So that's how it looks to me. And, you know, that doesn't change for each child. You know, it's completely almost the same. I just merge it in. I try and do my 5 and 10-year-old at the same time. I sort of try and do that at the same time, just together, because they're watching each other. They're learning off each other. They've got difference of opinions. So it works.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And you said for the 17-year-old, it is... he or she, is that a daughter?
It's a he.
Yeah. He had a son. So is your oldest son, is he, he's busy with school stuff himself, I assume. How does that look? That's a totally different stage of life for him.
It actually is a little bit easier. It works quite nicely. So let's just go through talking about for a typical day. It's usually quite good before or after a dinner period. We're quite like a good family for sitting down at the table and eating together and talking about a day, etc. So it might be beforehand or after, but the first thing we do is I just play a little bit of a test sort of game with him. Like, so for instance, he's doing his driving test soon, so it'll be like, tell me something about, you know, the highway code or whatever on the road, because like I don't know. So it could be something like that. Then having a laugh and stuff, you know, we just talk about sort of not pop culture, but just life. And we sort of make jokes about it. Some of it's a bit of a darker humor, some of it's a bit of a lighter humor. We just play around with that. And at the end, I just, usually we talk about like, where's he going? Like, that's quite a good life lesson, I think, for him, because now he's getting more autonomy himself, then he's probably more able to answer like, where are you going? If I ask my 5-year-old, where are you going? He's like, I don't know, when's Christmas again?
Right.
Yeah, so that's what they care about. So the autonomy is different. So it is just how I ask him, like, where are you going? Oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. Okay, what have you done to be an entrepreneur? And that's when then the life lessons start coming in. I go, well, if you're not going to take action, do you know what I mean? That's where it's sort of slowly. So I always do it in such a way where it doesn't look forced. It's like become a part of our day.
No, that's neat. Now, how do you... as far as time, you know, I imagine that you, since you don't have a, like, you're not scheduling your kids, right, on purpose, so that it doesn't feel manufactured or like they're just some sort of cog in the wheel, cog in the machine. How do you, I mean, that could extend for a long time, right? I mean, you come home from work, I don't know, 5:30 or whenever it is, and you've got dinner time, then you've got discussion. I imagine you've prioritized that as being just a significant part of your evening.
Yeah, it's pretty much top two, wife being one of the two as well. And that it we've also got to remember, life has got to be flexible in ways. You know, I love a routine, probably from my military days. I love discipline and routine. But there's also certain times when my wife may need me more because of, like, you know, she's starting her own business, something, she needs me a bit more. So it's all about the balance. But to answer your question, I don't even think about it anymore, that taking up my time. That's how good I am with time management now. And because for me, kids and wife and family is not just above work and things outside. I feel like they're miles above. Mm. So I apologize, it's such a bland or maybe not so direct answer, but I just generally don't think about it that much because it's become a part of my life. It's become a part of my routine. The more you do it, it's all almost like going to the gym, I guess, is like when you start going for half an hour gym sessions in the morning, you start thinking, oh, it's half an hour. Oh, it's half an hour. But when you then do it for like 3 months, you almost go, well, it's just part of my day now. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you prioritize family to such a degree that the other activities you do, such as work, you look at those as supporting what you're doing with your family.
Yeah, and maybe I am a little bit lucky and blessed on my job being a stress coach for dads, is that I need to live the life that I'm trying to guide and help people with. So, yeah, exactly. So it's become a part of my life. There's always going to be a day, and I have to be open. You know, I'm very open and honest. So there is always a day, by the way, you know, like I'll get home. I just haven't got that time, and I do slip the 15 minutes. But if I had to give you an average, you know, it'd be once every 2 weeks, you know, I go, oh, I just couldn't fit it in today. But then I always catch up with the weekend, maybe a bit longer, because I feel like it's such an important thing, being present with your children.
No, that's good. And so you mentioned here that the educational piece, like the give them a lesson. And I imagine some of that comes from that you want to teach them things that you wish you had known growing up. So tell me a little bit about what that looks like and why, what do you wish you had known growing up that you have a strong passion to teach your kids about?
It's a really good question and absolutely happy to answer it. So first, yes, I do teach them lessons that I wish I knew when I grew up. And it's so fundamental. I've come back from a background when I was in the army, I did a lot of teaching. I actually fell in love with it a bit, just, you know, sort of sharing knowledge and factual knowledge. And there was a lot of things when I was growing up that I felt I got like lost when I got to a, you know, up 80, I went to Afghanistan, coming back when I was MD'd from the army, I was like, who am I? And a lot of these life lessons, I feel like, for instance, is just love yourself, like love who you are. You know, there's so much negativity out in the world, sometimes on social media, that you start second guessing, like, am I a man? Is it toxic the way I am? Have I got a second guess everything? So what I teach my kids more than anything is who you are is amazing. I always teach my daughter, because she always asks, and that's the amazing thing about teaching as well. They ask questions. They actually start coming to you and start asking questions to you because they feel like you're the person to guide them. Mm. And my daughter always asks, you know, like what she sees on social media, which we try and save them from as much as we can. But, you know, with school, what is this? What does this mean? Is this their belief? I feel like I'm a lady and I'm proud to be a lady, you know, especially because my wife's from Latvia and she's quite traditional. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I always tell my daughter, you are amazing. Women are amazing. The things that women can do are amazing. You know, I always ensure that that's imbalanced into them, where I felt when I was a boy growing up, it was like, you have to be strong. You can't ask for help. No crying, stiffen up. Mm. And that's absolutely fine. We do have to be strong. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But then there's a time where you do need to reach out for help. And the family of being a team is so important. So I really, really not instill that onto my children, but I just make sure that they feel loved no matter what path they choose.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. I like the idea of humans, all of us, women, men, being made in the image of God. I think there's something mm-hmm. really powerful about remembering that, you know, that when God created the world, it was made good. And
yeah,
I think that's a beautiful and good thing for us to remember, certainly.
100%. And to sort of finalize the question, is one of the lessons me and my daughter trialed, actually, we went to Ogmore. It's a place near me in Wales. It's a big, long beach area. And I can't remember what study this was from or where it was from. But basically, this guy said to a person that was sort of in between belief and they were not really acting themselves, they said, every time you see somebody just imagine, because we don't know if there's a reincarnation of Jesus again or the second coming of Jesus, just pretend everyone you ever meet could potentially be Jesus in disguise. So when this guy goes home, he sees his dad asks him a question. Usually he would be quite ignorant of him because of the past. He pretends he's this, you know, he could be Jesus in disguise. The way he treats his dad now is with love, affection, respect. Same with the mother. When the mother needs help, he reaches out a hand because he says that's Jesus in disguise. So me and my daughter started doing it between each other. And I said, do it with your mother as well. I said, like, every time you look at her, just look at her, like, of the philosophy of that's Jesus in disguise. And all of a sudden she started doing amazing things around the house. You know, she started doing things that she was starting to slip up on, and just little things like that. So even, you know, although my daughter's at this moment in time, she's very much learning and seeing if she does believe or, you know, what's going on. She's very much like me, trying to learn about life. I thought it was a really good lesson to use, because she was like, ah, if I treat people with love and respect, then I'm a good person, right? So it was really interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, that's probably a good way to look at other humans, I would imagine. That's really awesome. So the third thing that you said on here when we spoke before was that you like to give them small tasks to have them feel that sense of accomplishment. Can you describe how you do that and what kind of tasks you do for the different age groups?
That is a really good question, and it's so many, and I mix it up. But what I do as well with the tasks, so if I just maybe just speak through it. So my son at the moment, he like takes his bins down, because I explained to him when your bins get full, you got to take them down. So simple, but he takes the bins down. He started then saying, "Dad, do you take your bins down?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, I'll take your bins down, but you've got to give me some money." I said, okay. I said, okay, well, I'll give him a weekly allowance anyway. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll do it. I said, I'll give you some money at the end of the week. You can buy Roblox. You can buy toys.
Just to clarify for the American audience, that would be your trash cans.
Trash cans. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Rubbish bins, trash cans. Yeah. Yeah. Just so everyone knows. And so now he'll just come in. And when he does the task, it's not just thanks. It's, thank you so much. Thank you very much. You know, what you did was really good. If he forgets it though, I say, oh no, you forgot to take out the trash bins, trash cans or rubbish bins. So that's like a task. Something I've done with my daughter as well is that in the morning I take the dog for a walk, and she said that she wants to be like more active and walking in the morning. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, because of dad's illness that I've got, which is horrible in the morning. I've got to take medicines and medication to try and up myself, and a lot of vitamins. So I said, why don't you wake up dad, turn my light on, help me up, because you get up early anyway. We'll take the dogs for a walk, and then that's your task. And every time she does, I always remind her like how well she's done, how good she's done. And then with my 17-year-old, it's more, probably a bit more added tasks because of the age difference, but it's little things to help. I always make sure it's mainly to help the mother out. So it's, can you do this? Because you know your mum's going to do it when she gets back, you know, because I'm doing my thing. If you do that. And I always tell my wife then, I always say, we just need to remember to thank him and sort of thing. So like he then feels that doing stuff for others is actually comes with a benefit, because eventually, like, call it karma, whatever you will, it will then come back to you that you're doing nice things. So the task for me is not just to get the kids to do things because you're busy, because I feel like a lot of people will probably think that, oh, thank God my kids have grown up enough now they can help. I get that. But more importantly, make the task that you give them meaningful for something they do in the future, so they can feel the disbenefits and benefits of certain tasks.
Do you feel like that helps them to feel included in the family?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So my son, especially when they're younger, because as they're younger, as you will, or anyone with kids will know, that they may feel that they have less to do or less authority, if you'd like, than maybe a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old. Look at a 17-year-old, go, well, how is she or he doing that? Like, why can't I stay up later? And it's all explaining to them, like, you're at this age, and as you grow, you'll get more responsibility. But you know, that can be harder, but if you do it well, things will become easier. So it's teaching them now. And I've been a big believer on that. And I think that came from my grandparents, very working class grandparents, who said, you know, you need to learn now, because if you never learn, it's just going to be harder for you. So learn now. So she, my nan used to, you know,
my nan used to teach me how to iron.
Yeah. Wait until you're 30. And you do see it sometimes with dads, you know, and mothers sometimes, but dads, you know, like they're trying to catch up on their own childhoods and also teach their kids. Where I was lucky enough to have my nan and granddad who was very much like, do this. And to be fair, my father as well, he was very much like task driven, do this, you need to do that because you are going to be mainly a man and you have to take responsibilities. And, you know, probably not the best of teachings, but yeah, I've maybe just smartened it a bit more.
Did you feel, so growing up, were you given some of those things growing up, or do you feel like the things that you're doing now are things that you did not experience as a child growing up in a family?
No, I don't have the same, when I was growing up, I don't have the same tasks. I found that my mother gave me more those tasks and I feel it was to help. No, I feel like what I do is to make sure what they're doing is to take care of themselves. You know, it could be anything. Like the reason I got my son at the beginning to take his own bins out is because then daily has to think like, oh, I need to do something to administrate myself. And then, you know, he started then wanting to take my bins out for money. I mean, that's down to him. But everything I do is to make sure that they're developing themselves, because it's, you know, it has been proven quite a lot, like scientifically as well. The more you do and the more you develop, you know, even if it's reading a book, your brain is growing, it's enlarging, it's taking more information in, and we're becoming better people. So I just, you know, think it's best for my kids, and it helps my wife out. So that also helps her smile as well. So added bonus.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. If you have any other things to add related to where, how, and why you learned those things, because it seems like you've seen things in your own family that you think, hey, my kids, this would be good for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do things that implement those good things. I guess I'm wondering how or where and why did you even first think this would be a good thing? I should put all my eggs in this particular area of my life to help my children grow.
I think it was an amalgamation of things. I think it was military experience, having that sort of military resilience and discipline to sort of go, oh, I see why discipline is so important. I see where this, I think, going back to church when, I left the military and I was trying to find my way and, you know, meeting certain people again and realizing the love for one another and how important it is. And I also think my own personal end research, going out and reading books and, you know, not parenting books, believe it or not, weirdly, it was just about stress and growth and development. And then I just sort of implemented what they were saying about what I should do for myself as I grow. Well, why can't we do the same on our children? Because, you know, they are growing into adults, they're going to grow eventually. So it was an amalgamation of things. I think all those three things being the main sort of the prizes, I guess. And I started doing it last year, and the difference in my family now is I wish I could show people, and I will show people, you know, my family's so much happier. We're like a little bit, you know, that this time sometimes you see the TV family and you go, I do feel like with that sometimes, you know, we have a laugh, we joke, we play, we spend time, we watch movies, we learn, we do have our, you know, disagreements, but it's very quickly, yeah, of course we all do, but it's very quickly sorted, it's very quickly changes into a learning point and a development point. So I've never been so happy in my life, and that is a fact, and that is not because of me. Obviously I do have some part to play in it. What I mean by it's not to do with me, it's not because of my job, it's not because of the money I'm now receiving or anything like that. No, it's about how I feel in this house, because there's a lot of stuff going on there and you can't control what's going on out in that world. But when I walk into this house, my own world, my son's my daughter, just, and my wife, everything's just so much better. And I know we'll be stronger in the future when, if anything came our way that we'd need to fight off. Like last Christmas, we had two family bereavements in a week at the beginning of Christmas, very close to me. And as I wasn't the best then, I was not in a great way. And that family took a bit longer to deal with it because they were also waiting for me. But I think if anything was like that to happen again, we'd just be amazing together.
Give us a final thing. Give us a little bit of a contrast before and after.
Okay. Is
back,
that
back just, then? And now what is that? What are the differences? Cause I imagine there's a lot of people who could probably relate to the back then.
Okay. 100%. I could add the back then. The back then, this is before I started to become the person I was now. I was drinking a lot of alcohol to cope the stress. I didn't believe that I could reach out to my kids, share my pain. Obviously, we got to hide certain pains, but share and compromise with each other. Me and my wife probably didn't speak as much and communicate, which I'm sure Tom that we spoke to recently that would have mentioned communication. I was going into an abyss where I just didn't know who I was anymore. I couldn't reach out, and I just felt like I was this lonely person and people will think that's crazy. I felt lonely and stressed and angry and frustrated because I felt like the world was on my shoulders. And yeah, it got to some dark times. You know, I was in hospital all the time, nearly took my life. That was a contrast back then. That's how far it got. Now, every single day, can't wait to come home. I can't wait to wake up. I spend time with my kids in the morning. When I go out with my daughter, for instance, we go away together, we spend time together, and I feel that my kids are much, 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 much more happier. I feel my wife is happier. I feel I'm happier. And I think it was this key to hold in what's so important in this world, the family together.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Craig. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. And I appreciate that, Tim, and all the best to you as well.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.